Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Law. The Law Hour is an educational service in public interest in an area of George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Contract Penalty Clause. When we come back. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our forefathers, you shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. He said, you shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have. We see that in Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16. Well, you know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention back in 1787 followed that scriptural principle when they put into our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words. It says, no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts. But in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation, and in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks to the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coin. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our country, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons in my Mosaic Law School. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call now and order yours. The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Well, 3,300 years ago, a contract was drawn up between your great-great-great-granddaddy, if you're an Anglo-Saxon, if you're one of those people descended from the House of Israel, which most people today, of course, don't believe or don't know about, but if you happen to be one of those, this contract applies to you to this day, and it applies to your nation to this day, whether you know that or not, whether you've ever heard that or not, whether your preacher has ever explained that to you or not, that's the state of affairs. And if we take a look at the world today, such as the United States of America with our Hurricane Katrina and with our massive debt problems, we've got some real problems, and these problems are carrying over into the rest of the world because your money is tied to the American dollar. And when the dollar collapses, all the rest of the currencies of the world are going to collapse. We're all going to have some financial problems. But I'm not sure that most people tie those financial problems to a breach of contract. That's right, a breach of contract. So let's start with, what is a contract? Well, if we look in the law dictionary, it tells us that a contract is an offer with an acceptance over time with consideration. There's four elements to it. There has to be an offer. Somebody comes along and makes an offer. I'm going to offer you this automobile. You know, you read about it in the paper. There's cars for sale. The acceptance is when you walk in and say, gee, I want to buy the car. So there's an offer with an acceptance, but we don't have a contract yet until we have consideration. Well, how much do you want for your car? $3,000. Okay, well, the consideration is $3,000. The last item is the time. When are you going to deliver the $3,000 to me? $50 a month, or are you going to write me a check? Four elements to a contract: offer, acceptance, time, and consideration. Well, how does that apply? Well, let's take a look. You go down, you got a driver's license. Do you remember that? That was a contract. There was an offer by the state, and you wanted to accept it. There was some consideration, and there was a $5 or $10 fee that you paid, and then there was a time element. The license is good for 4 years. Contract. Now, I know that when you look in the dictionary, it'll tell you that a license isn't a contract, but boys and girls, if the animal is black and has a white stripe, we call them skunks. Unless you go to California, they call them civet cats. They stink real bad. They both smell about the same. You can call it what you want, but It's an agreement, whether it's a license, it's an agreement that has a penalty involved with it. If it's a contract, then it's an agreement that has a penalty that's hooked to it. And that's the key item in a contract, the penalty clause, the penal clause to the contract. What does it call for? Well, if you speed, there's a penalty clause in your driver's license contract. You can't speed. You can't run through stop signs. You got to drive on the right side of the road. And, you know, there's various rules and regulations, and if you get caught violating those terms and conditions, then there's a penalty to pay. Well, 3,300 years ago, Moses, you know, this old guy Moses that you hear so much about, stood on top of Mount Sinai, and he received from a fellow called God a law. Well, have you ever thought of a law? What is it? A law is a contract. A law is a contract. It's an agreement that you have with your government, and then it's predicated upon your consent. And so here in the West, where we practice democracy or Republican form of government, we have a consent. We agree to obey these laws, and our lawmakers agree to be elected or voted into office. And so we elect Dianne Feinstein. She goes back to Washington. She sits down with all the rest of the representatives that we all send from all over the country, and they make laws. And we as citizens are bound then to obey those laws. Well, God is an autocrat, and so he was up on the mountain, and he didn't want anybody voting him into office. And so he said, well, I got a tender offer to make. And he made an offer to the Israelites, you know, the people that he just brought out of Egypt. And he said, I will give you these 33 benefits, these 33 real neat toys, if you will reciprocate by following my 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. Now, that might seem like it's a little out of balance, but, you know, you got a law here that says thou shalt not steal. And then there's a corollary statute that says you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. And so there's a prohibition against stocks and bonds and negotiable instruments and Federal Reserve notes, and it's you shall use gold and silver coin. And so our founding fathers in 1787 put that into our Constitution: no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin, a tender in payment of debt, following thou shalt not steal, and you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. Then in 1792, they enacted the Coinage Act of 1792, and we Americans became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world, economically, militarily, politically, and that's because we followed that law. Then about 1913, we came along and we said, see, you know, we think we'll change that. We think we'll have a Federal Reserve and paper money. And so today, 100 years later, we've got the biggest debt in the world, and we can't pay our debt, can't service our debt, and the whole world's economy is about to collapse as a result of it. Now, that's a cause and effect relationship. You know, it's like wringing your nose and you get blood. Step off of a high spot and you fall down. So we can see natural law, and if you just pay a little attention, you can also see secular law, and with a little bit more perception, you can see scriptural law. Hurricane Katrina is an example of scriptural law. It's a penalty that we pay for the violation of this law. Now, this law came into existence about 1329 B.C., give or take a couple of years, 1329 B.C. Moses is up on top of the mountain. He receives this law from a guy that we call God, revealed in the Bible as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's distinguished from Allah. He's distinguished from Buddha. He's distinguished from Confucius. And he's got his own law over here, and he tendered this offer to your great-great-great-granddaddy and mine. So your great-granddad and my great-granddad were standing out there at the foot of the mountain. And we said, that is, our great-great-granddaddies said, all that the Eternal has said we'll do and be obedient. And you'll see that in the terms of the contract itself. So if you got a pen and paper here, I'll tell you where that contract is located. It's in Exodus 19, verse 16. That's where it begins. So if you flipped over to Exodus 19 and looked over here at verse 16, you start there, and then you carry that through Exodus 19, Exodus 20, Exodus 21, Exodus 22, Exodus 23, until you get to Exodus 24, verse 8. And there's the terms and conditions of the contract. Now, when I'm a contractor and I come out to your house and I'm going to remodel your kitchen, and I say to you, I'm going to charge you $10,000 to remodel your kitchen, and you say, well, you want number 10 wire on the walls, and you want Solarian linoleum, and you want birch cabinets, and so on. And I come out there and I put all that stuff together for you, and I put it in, I expect to get paid my $10,000. Called the terms and conditions of the contract. Now, typically in a contract, we put in what we call a penal clause. That is, you know, how long is it going to take you to do this job, Gordon? And I say, well, 30 days. And you say, terrific. You do it in 30 days, and I'll pay you the $10,000. But what if it takes you 40 days? What if it takes 40? And I have to spend an extra 10 days in the Holiday Inn, you know, at $100 a day. That's an extra $1,000. So, Gordon, I want you to pay me a penal clause, a penalty of $100 a day for every day that it takes you beyond 30 days. Oh, okay. Well, I get that. Okay, well, how about you? How about you paying? You gonna pay me on time? And so we put a penalty clause in there concerning payment. And if you delay on your payment, well, then we're going to increase the payment by 5% or something on that order. So we have this reciprocity in the contract terms. Reciprocity means, you know, one side and the other side come to an agreement. And you have to specifically perform certain parts on your side, and I got to perform certain parts on my side. So when we go back here to this contract, God tendered an offer. Your great-granddad accepted. And this was a contract made between two unequal parties, partners. See, we became partners with God. And unequal. He's got eternal life, and your granddad, he didn't. And so when your granddad died, he had accumulated a lot of toys, and we needed a law, we needed a methodology whereby we could transfer those toys from your granddad to his son, to his son, to his son, until they finally came upon you, you know, in 2006. And so this is called an inheritance law, an inheritance statute. And we have that in the Bible, and it deals with property. And we also have that in here in America, which is called the death tax, or the fourth plank to the Communist Manifesto, however you want to word. And that's because under the scriptural law, under the law of Moses, the law of God, we have property and property rights guaranteed by thou shalt not steal. Here in America, we have abandoned thou shalt not steal, and we now practice from each according to his ability and to each according to his need under the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto espoused by the first plank, which calls for the abolition of all right to property, and the fourth plank, which calls for the confiscation of all property of immigrants and rebels, the exact opposite to passing that inheritance down to the next generation. Now, when we practice communism, we don't need to be concerned about property and property rights, but under the terms of the Old Covenant, you're entitled to this property and property rights upon your specific performance of the terms and conditions of the contract. It's called reciprocity. You do this and I do that. You do something and I do something in return, called reciprocity. All right, so your great-granddad, 84 generations back, died and passed on to his heirs and assigns forever these benefits, 33 articulable benefits. So if you got a pen and paper, let's write this down. These benefits are articulated in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, the first 13 or 14 verses. So if you write that down, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28, you get these benefits. And conversely, if you don't receive these benefits because of the breach of contract, then you receive these penalties. These are the penalties that you're going to receive. This isn't too difficult to figure out. When you went down to get your driver's license, the state said, well, you get these benefits. You can drive your car, you get highway patrol services, and you get towing, and you get a road out here, and you get traffic lights to, you know, to protect you at the intersections. We're going to provide you with all these benefits. Traffic lights and stop signs and white lines down the highway and pavement on the roads and bridges across the rivers and all these neat things. Now, the reciprocity on this is that we got rules. You got to drive on the right side of the road, stop at the stop sign, stop at the red lights, and, you know, follow all these rules and regulations. So in your state, you have about 2,000 traffic codes or traffic statutes and regulations that you have to follow. All right, so the reciprocity on this is you practice this law, we give you these benefits. But if you violate the terms and conditions, then we're going to give you fines and penalties. We'll take your license away, we'll give you fines, we'll put you in jail, and you agree to these terms and conditions. Okay? And you do that when you sign that driver's license application. Now, God's a little different. You see, you're an heir and a sign forever. And in fact, you may even be a stranger. You may be from India or China or from Mexico or someplace else in the world. And, you know, if you're a stranger within these borders or within this land, these laws apply to you. You know, just because you're from India doesn't mean, you know, you can drive on the left side of the road. Or you come from England or Australia and say, well, we drive on the left side of the road, and I'm in America now, and that's where I'm going to drive. No, you got to practice the law of our land. You know, I go to England, I got to drive on your side of the road, and you come over here, you got to drive on our side of the road, and so on. All right, that isn't too difficult to figure out. And if we don't do that, you know, even though you're a stranger here, you know, you're going to suffer the penalty or the penal clause to the contract. So as long as you understand how that game is played, you know, then it becomes incumbent upon us to know what these laws, rules, and regulations are, so that we can follow these laws, rules, and regulations and avoid those penalties. Unfortunately, here in America, and I suspect the same is probably true in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Western Europe, I'm not sure that we're alerted to or have been instructed in the penalties for the failure to follow the Ten Commandments and the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments that were negotiated for us by Moses out at Mount Sinai and inure to the heirs and assigns forever. Now, I don't know how long forever is, but I do know that it's not up yet. Now, it also applies to strangers within our gates, because if you came here to this country and the law applies to the people of this country, then you have to follow that law. Now, we Americans do not practice the law of God, the law of Moses. We practice the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto now in place of the 10 commandments. But I wanted to alert you to this fact, that before Karl Marx, there was God. And before the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, there was the 10 commandments. And before we accepted and adopted the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, we had already adopted and agreed to the terms and conditions in the Old Covenant under the 10 Commandments. And as a matter of law, the former agreement takes precedence over the latter agreement, and the breach of contract of the former agreement has penalties. And Hurricane Katrina was one of those penalties, and the drought in the West is another penalty, and our national debt and our weakening dollar and our economic troubles and our social upsets and upheavals in the United States and around the world. These are penalties that we're paying for the violation of a law, an agreement, a contract. All right, so if you look at Exodus 24, verse 7, when this deal was presented to your great-great-granddaddy back in 1329 BC, he said, quote, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. That's Exodus 24, verse 7. That's what he said. And he collected those benefits. but he didn't have eternal life and he died. And under the inheritance law, those benefits, those rights, duties, obligations, and capacities passed on to his son, who in turn passed it down to his son, who in turn passed it on down the line 84 generations later. And here you are, Bob, one of the recipients, one of the heirs and assigns forever. Now, Bob, you have some duties. Whether you knew about these duties or not is irrelevant. You don't have to know about your inheritance to make you an heir. And you're an heir according to a promise. And this promise was made to your great-great-great-great-granddaddy. It goes back to a guy by the name of Abraham. Three contracts, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all had contracts with the same God. This God then came down and reconfirmed these three contracts with 3.5 million people, 12 tribes, the descendants of Jacob, Israel. And those people occupy space on planet Earth today. They occupy the United States of America. They occupy Canada, Australia, New Zealand, France, Belgium, Luxembourg, England, Ireland, Scotland, Iceland, Greenland, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, and Germany, and Switzerland. Now, those are where those 12 tribes of Israel are located today. Those are our borders. And we owe reciprocity on this contract in the year 2006 in the same way that we owed it in 1329 BC when we made this deal. Now, I know you're sitting there saying, well, I didn't make that deal because I wasn't there and I wasn't born yet. And let me explain that to you, because you weren't in Independence Hall in 1787 either, when your forefathers ratified the Constitution of the United States. And you didn't agree to those terms and conditions. But those terms and conditions inure to you as a citizen of the United States of America, whether you like it or not. And the same thing is true in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. And if you want to test it, I mean, just go out and just take any section of your Constitution or the laws and the statutes and rules and regulations of your country, wherever you live in the world, and just walk up to the closest policeman, give him the finger, put the flag right under his nose, and break the law right in front of him, see what happens to him. Test it. If you've got the gonads to do it, go test it. Now, the same thing is true here with the God of Israel. Now, you can sit there and say, well, I'm a Catholic, a Protestant, a Jew, or a Buddhist, or somebody else. Now, if you're a Buddhist and you're living in a Buddhist land, well, then you're not accepting, you're not receiving, you haven't been given these benefits that I'm going to describe to you here in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. So if you've got a Bible in front of you, flip over here to Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, chapter 28. And let's see what this contract, what this inheritance is all about. What was it that we were supposed to receive? And in verse 28, verse 1, it shall come to pass, if you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God to observe and do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Eternal your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God. So if we practice these laws, rules, regulations, customs, usages, and practices, we'll be number one in the world. Well, take a look at America, number one in the world, world's only superpower. Take a look at Canada, Australia, and all of the countries I mentioned to you in Western Europe, and we have the highest standard of living in the world. We have all the toys, the automobiles, the airplanes, and all the neat things that go along with it. So God performed on his end of the contract, past tense, and he gave us all these benefits. Now, where's the reciprocity? You know, the reciprocity is, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt do no murder, and so on down the line, thou shalt not covet, and we've got these Ten Commandments. Now, those Ten Commandments are also supported by some statutes, you know, like Leviticus 19, 35 and 36, which says, in essence, you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. Or, you know, you shall not have unjust weights and balances. It's against the law to steal. Now, for the most part, we Americans practice that, but there's a lot of these laws that we don't practice. There's 133, these 759 laws now, statutes and judgments and so on, are condensed down into 133 titles of law or subject matters of law. Theft is one subject matter, supported by a number of statutes. All right, so now we have this duty or obligation of reciprocity in these 12 countries. The you people down in Mexico and India and China, you don't have the same duty of reciprocity under this contract, because this contract wasn't made with you. But if you live here in the United States, if you're Chinese and you live here in San Francisco, in Chinatown, these laws, these customs, usages, and practices apply to you, and you are going to pay the same penalty, the same punishment that all the rest of us are going to pay in this land for the violation of these terms and conditions. Now, first of all, what are the benefits? Listen to this. He says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and blessed shall be the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, that's your cows, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Eternal will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out before you one way and flee before you seven ways. That's like the Japanese at the Battle of Midway. The Eternal shall command the blessing upon you and your storehouses. We Americans, all of us Anglo-Saxons have more food than we know what to do with, no famines, and in all that you set your hand unto, and he shall bless you in the land which the Eternal your God gives you. So the land of Australia was given to you people. The land of New Zealand was given to you people, and given to you by this God. The land of America, Western Europe. Goes on to say in verse 9, the Eternal shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in all of his ways. Okay, so the requirement here is that you practice the Ten Commandments. Not the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto now, the Ten Commandments. And the statutes and judgments that support those. Not the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto and all the statutes and judgments that Dianne Feinstein and Ted Kennedy have orchestrated for you. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Eternal, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Eternal shall make you plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, and in the land which the Eternal swore unto you, and unto your fathers to give you. And the Eternal shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. Now, I know I mentioned this a little earlier, that we Americans used to be the world's number one creditor nation. Today, we're the world's number one debtor nation. Hey, that's a reversal. And the Eternal shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if that you hearken unto the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. You ought not to be going after the gods of Washington, D.C., and Jefferson City, Missouri, and Sacramento, California, but you ought to be practicing my law. Now, of course, these are choices that all of us have to make, and if you've made your choice and you're happy with it, that's fine. My point is that there's a story here, and I want to report the story on the contract penalty clause, which begins in verse 15. Now, we Americans, Canadians, Australians, and New Zealanders, and all of us Western Europeans, you Irishmen and Scotsmen, and you Germans, and you Swiss, we have all been the beneficiaries of these benefits. Now, there's reciprocity on the contract. And if we don't fulfill our end of the deal, then the contract is going to be terminated and the penal clause is going to be implemented. That's the bottom line. And you need to know about that. But right after this, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school or The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law or an editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call the Law School Direct at 417-273-4967. All right, talking about contract penalty clause. Before we get to the penal clause, the bad news, let's take a look at the good news in Leviticus chapter 26. Two places here in Scripture articulate 33 articulable benefits. In Leviticus 26, it tells us essentially the same things in a little different wording. In verse 1 of chapter 26 of Leviticus, you shall make you no idols, nor graven image, and neither shall you rear up a standing image, and neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it. I'm the Eternal your God. Now, we Americans have our Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. We have our Washington Monument. We have our state capitol buildings and our national capitol. These are our lawmaking bodies, and these are the gods that we bow down to, and the laws that we practice is our worship of those laws, the worship of those gods. Now, we were told not to do that. In verse 2, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary because I'm the Eternal. We do not practice the Sabbath on Saturday. We practice the Sabbath on Sunday. We do not practice the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Tabernacles. We practice Christmas, Easter, New Year's, the 4th of July, May Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and Labor Day. We have our own Sabbaths. Verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I'll give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach to the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I'll give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I'll rid evil beasts out of the land, and neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100. 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and I'll make you fruitful and multiply you. And I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store, and bring forth the old store because of the new. And I'll set my tabernacle among you. My soul shall not abhor you. And I'll walk among you, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. I am the Eternal your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, and you, that you should not be their bondsmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and I made you to go upright. All right, so there's your benefits. I'll talk a little more about those as we progress along, and I'll show you what's happening to our benefits. They're being taken away from us, like rain in due season. Hurricane Katrina is not rain in due season, and a drought in California is not rain in due season. Now, we're entitled to that rain in due season, but based upon the reciprocity on the contract, we do our part, God does his part. We don't do our part, God doesn't do his part. But it gets worse than that. It gets much worse than that. We don't do our part, and God then, with specificity, says, here's what I'm going to do to you. Here's what I'm going to do to you. And I don't think that this is the message that you're getting from your local church or from your local government officials. I don't think the Social Security Administration has alerted you to this problem that's coming upon us. Now, if you live in one of these Anglo-Saxon countries, you know, let's suppose that you're a Moroccan living in France. Well, you've got your God, Allah, and the French over here have their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The French people are in violation of the terms and conditions of this contract. They want to practice Roman Catholicism. Under the terms and conditions of this contract, you people who are Roman Catholics have the same duty of specificity to practice thou shalt not steal, as do we Americans and Canadians and British and anybody else. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a Catholic, a Protestant, a Jew, or if you're a Muslim or somebody else. You have this duty to perform, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. But it's even worse for those of us that agreed to the terms and conditions of the contract. You see, 84 generations ago, your great-great-granddaddy accepted these benefits. And these benefits inure to the heirs and the sons forever. Now, if you want to practice a political ideology like Roman Catholicism, or Lutheranism, or you want to become a Pentecostal, okay, that's a political ideology. It's an identification. It's a badge. I belong to this group. But that group has the same obligation to practice the terms and conditions of this contract. Now, many people have assumed that because they carry Bibles under their arms that they're religious people and that they're good folks, and I'm sure in their minds they are. But with specificity, now we have some laws and duties that we have to perform on. So if you're not keeping the Sabbath, or if you're voting, and you participate in a political format or ideology like democracy or something akin to it, then you've got some different God over here, because the God of Abraham is not a Democrat running for public office. And when Jesus Christ returns, he's not going to be on the stump over here flying around from city to city pleading with you, asking you to vote him in. So if you had in your mind that you're going to vote for Jesus or vote for somebody running against him over there, you're going to be sorely disappointed. This guy's an autocrat, a king. Kings don't run for office. And he's got the only game in town, and this is the game, and it comes from this law, which you don't hear about in your local churches, and you surely don't learn about in your local public schools. And because you don't know the law, you don't practice it, and because you don't practice it, there are penalties that you're facing, of which I said Hurricane Katrina is just the beginning. It's just the tip of the iceberg. There's much more to come. Now, we've taken a look at the benefits. And this is what you're entitled to. This is what you have received. And you didn't even have to get out of bed to do it, just being born here, just coming to the United States. You could be a Chinese from China, living in Chinatown in San Francisco. You have these same benefits that everybody else in the country has. But you also have the same burden, the same duty of obligation and responsibility. In the same way that if I go to England, I've got the same duty, obligation, and responsibility to drive on the left side of the highway as you Englishmen do. And when you Englishmen come here to the United States, you have the same duty and obligation to drive on the right side of the road, as obnoxious as that may seem to you, as I do. I have to drive on the right side of the road, and so do you, here in this country. So if you Chinese want to live here in the United States, that's fine, but you've got to practice the law that's incumbent upon us here in the United States. Now, what we've done in America, we've adopted the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. Now, I want to point out that the 10 commandments were in force and effect before the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. Our agreement with our God dates back earlier than Karl Marx in 1848 with the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and this contract inures to the heirs and the scions forever. Now, if you want to adopt communism, it's a choice that you have to make in life, but in addition to that, you still have the same duty to specific performance under the 10 commandments and the law of God that you had on day one back in 1329 B.C. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. I'm not here to preach to you. I'm not here to tell you you got to do this. I don't care whether you do it or not. I'm a reporter. I'm here to report, and my report is. Okay, now, here's what the report is. We're still here in Leviticus chapter 26. In verse 14, he goes on to say, says, but if you will not hearken unto me, and if you will not do all of these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgment, so that you will not do all of my commandments, but that you break my covenant. Remember this contract. The contract is reciprocity. I give you the benefits, you practice my law. My law is composed of judgments, commandments, and statutes. If your soul abhors those, and you don't want to do them, then be alerted to these facts. Verse 15. I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Now we have a problem with terrorists. And he said, I'm going to bring these terrorists upon you. Consumption is disease. I'm going to bring this disease upon you. Cancer is a consumptive disease. Boys and girls, 100 years ago, the cancer rate was 1 in 33. One person in 33 in America could expect to get cancer. Today, it's 1 out of 2. Boys and girls, consumption over the past 100 years has increased in this country. It's increasing around the world, and it is increasing because of the violation of the health laws that produce good health. Nobody's going to tell me what to eat. That's the response I get. Well, okay, nobody has to tell you what to eat, but boys and girls, what you eat is what your body's made of. And if you put in garbage, you get garbage as a result. Cancer, boys and girls, is caused. You weren't just walking down the street and were unlucky and inhaled cancer. You caused it. You put it into your mouth one bite at a time. So you're going to get consumption, the burning ague, that's called pink eye, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemy shall eat it. You know, we Americans produce grain, and our enemies eat it. We sell it all over the world. We sell it to our enemies. Now, that's just a fact of life. We produce grain in the Western world, and we sell it to the Russians, the Chinese, and everybody else in the world that hates us and votes against us in the United Nations and has nothing but evil in their hearts toward us. Now, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But here's the prophecy. We're growing our grain, we're growing our foodstuffs, and we're doing it in vain because our enemies eat it. Now, verse 16, I'll do this unto you. Or verse 17, rather, I should say, I'll set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. And they that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursue. Now take this war on terror here, you Americans, the war on terror. You people are fleeing. You've got a Patriot Act and Homeland Security, and you're fleeing. There's nobody pursuing you. Here you have 10,000 nuclear weapons. You have enough nuclear weapons to annihilate all life from off the planet. That's what they report. Those terrorists don't have anywhere near that. The other day, the Koreans, you know, the North Koreans, they got a little uppity and launched a couple of three. Rockets and jumped up and down, pawed the ground, bit the bushes over there. Do you know what would happen in North Korea, you know, in an all-out nuclear exchange? I mean, it's laughable when you stop and think about it. It's like the story of the, you ever see this picture of the little mouse who's given the finger to this eagle? This eagle is about 3 feet above him. His talons are out and glistening, you know, the sun is glistening off of the talons of his, on his feet, on his toes. He's got this real nasty look in his face, his beak, and his eyes. His beak is open, his tongue is sticking out, and the caption says, the last great act of defiance, as the little mouse is giving the finger to the eagle. That's the example that I like to think of when I think of North Korea and the United States. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The North Koreans could launch a missile, probably knock out one of our big cities, and kill a bunch of people. But can you imagine the retribution from that? Why, they'd be bombed back further than the Stone Age. The North Koreans aren't a problem, children. They weren't then, aren't now, never will be. But you're fearful of them, and you're afraid of them because your God, you know, is the United States Army, the United States Air Force. And you know as well as I do that one of those missiles might get through. Now, if you had the God of Israel over here working, there wasn't any of their missiles would get through. This God over here, you know, I'm talking about the God that puts the moon in orbit around the earth and the God that creates the sun. I mean, this guy's got some real power. The North Koreans are no threat to that guy if he's working for you. Now, of course, this God of the Bible is not working for America. This is not the God of Canada, Australia, New Zealand. This is a different guy over here, and I wanted to reintroduce you to him because this guy says, you know, you people haven't been performing on our contract. You haven't been performing on our deal. Verse 18, he says, if you will not yet for all of this hearken unto me, then I'll punish you 7 times more for your sins. He's going to lean on you to start with. Hurricane Katrina, he's leaning on you. Now, how would you like to have 7 times Hurricane Katrina? Because that's what's coming. It says, now, if that drought out there in California won't reform you, if that hurricane in New Orleans doesn't get your attention, I'll punish you 7 times more. I thought Hurricane Katrina was plenty. I thought that drought for 7 years out in the West was more than enough drought. Now, evidently, we haven't had enough yet. Small daddy used to say, said, you get that guy down, you beat him. And then you ask him if you've had enough. And if he hasn't had enough, you keep beating on him until he gets enough. Verse 19 says, I'll break the pride of your power, and I'll make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. I'm going to give you drought out there in the West, and I'm going to break the pride of your political power. Now take a look at America's power today. The North Koreans give us the finger like the little mouse. The Iranians over there don't listen to us. Now there was a time when the American president spoke that everybody in the world listened. When Teddy Roosevelt told the Nicaraguans back in 1907, you turn those Americans loose, he dispatched 2 destroyers with 2 contingents of Marines on them. And he said, you release those Americans or there'll be a new government in Nicaragua tomorrow morning. By God, they turned them loose. With the Tripoli pirates, back in the 1790s, it was the United States of America ain't paying tribute to anybody. And if you give us any static, we'll come over there and straighten that place out. Verse 20, he said, your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield or increase, and neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. And if you walk contrary unto me, and if you will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. All right, let's just take a look at that. Remember our government now, they came up with a new plan out there in the West. They're going to reintroduce the bears and the wolves. You know, your forefathers spent a lot of time, effort, and energy ridding the land of these evil beasts, and now you've got the conservation department out there reintroducing them. Out in California, you got mountain lions out there killing you, 1 or 2 or 3 of you every year. That's just the tip of the iceberg, children. It's going to get worse. Now, there was a time when we had rid our land of these evil beasts, but now we're reintroducing them. You know, we're kind of the proximate cause of our own injury. The land shall not yield or increase. Boys and girls, the land is getting weaker and weaker, and we put more chemicals and more chemicals on with more pesticides. The land is weak and produces weak produce. The produce that you're buying in Kroger's and Safeway today, on average, is 15% less nutrients than it had in 1950. 15% less. And that doesn't bode well for cancer, heart disease, and rheumatism, and arthritis. It says, I'm going to bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Now, sin is a transgression of the law. 1 John 3, verse 4. Sin. Transgression. Violation. Violation of what law? Well, you people are very careful to buckle your seatbelts and drive 55, but you're not very careful about thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, there's 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments that are organized into 133 titles or subject matters of law. We Americans are now practicing, let's see, 133. Let me just write this down here, 133. And we're in violation of 82, so I'm going to take 82 off of there. And we're practicing 51 to some degree, and in violation of 82. Here in America. Can't speak for you French and Canadians and Germans and Irishmen out there, but I suspect that you people are probably just about as careless with the terms and conditions of this contract as we Americans are. Now notice here, Leviticus 26 says, hey, this is what I'm going to do to you. Now we're getting down to some specifics here. I'm going to send wild beasts among you and rob you of your children, destroy your cattle. If you'll not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then I'll also walk contrary unto you, and I'll punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I'll bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. Now that's a war. I'm going to bring a war upon you that's going to avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you're gathered together within your cities, I'll send the pestilence among you, and you'll be delivered into the hands of your enemies. Now, have you heard about this? Have you heard about this avian flu thing you're talking about? You know, we got some AIDS is another one. It's a pandemic. Avian flu, you know, they keep promising us, you know, promises, promises. And when this thing goes from people to people over here, you're going to have a hell of a pestilence. I'm not sure that that's an aberration or that's an accident. It sounds like to me that God is sending us a plague. And notice that here in America, we're locked up in our cities. Hey, listen, 97% of us are urbanites now. Only 3% of us live on the land. 3%. 97% of you people now live in cities. And you're locked up wall to wall, close to your neighbor where he can sneeze on you. That's not an accident. And that's a disaster waiting to happen. Verse 26, and when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in 1 oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. That's famine. Famine. In modern English, we would translate it this way. He would say, when I have broken the staff of your bread, when I have sent you drought, 10 women shall bake your bread in 1 block-long ITT Wonder Bread oven, and they shall deliver you your bread this wallpaper paste again by weight in 1 pound packages, and you shall eat that trash, and you shall not be satisfied because there's no nutritional value in it. That's verse 26, translated into modern English. Hell, we're already there. That verse has already come to pass in your ears. You're already eating that crap. That's why you've got cancer and Lou Gehrig's disease, because you haven't got enough nutrition in your food. And that's because you don't practice land Sabbaths. And that's why your land is weak and worn out. And so that's why you have to use chemical fertilizers so that you can grow your wheat, which has 15% less nutrients, which is why you're starving to death, which is why you got cancer, which is why you're getting sick, because you're not practicing the laws of God, which you agreed to practice, remember? Because you're an heir and a sign forever. Now, again, you know, you're going to sit there and say, well, but I didn't agree to this. Children, you weren't in Independence Hall in Philadelphia when the Constitution was written, but it's binding upon you, whether you like it or not. It's called an adhesion contract. You weren't at Mount Sinai, but your great-great-granddaddy was, and he agreed to it, and you're one of the heirs and the signs forever, just like you're an heir of the sign forever from the terms and conditions of the contract in 1787. Now, like it or lump it, but that's the way the law works. Now, if you don't like it, you can leave the United States and go somewhere else. If you don't like it, you can leave Mexico and go someplace else. Now, these Israelite countries are the places where people want to go. You don't find Frenchmen, you know, jumping up and down saying, oh, my God, how soon can I get to Iraq? You know, how can I book passage to Morocco? You don't find Americans saying, oh, my God, I can't wait to ford the river into Mexico. The migration, boys and girls, is from those countries into the United States, Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. Why is it? It's because we got all the toys. How come we got all the toys? Because under the terms of the contract, we get the toys because we practice this law, the reciprocity on the contract. Now, we're in violation of the terms and conditions of our contract, and as a result of that, these benefits, these blessings are being taken away from us. It's getting worse. Now we're about to get the curses. Now we're about to really get kicked in the hind end. And I'm about running out of time. I'll take this up again next time, tomorrow night, here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Let me remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in public interest. Time's up. I'll leave it right there. See you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.